This is the second part of a message on giving. The first part was concerning giving tithes and offerings to the local church. This part of the message will be concerning giving to help others. This message is not about helping the needy, but about giving to the poor. There are two very different things. In the course of this message, I want to show how that helping loafers, helping people that are slothful and lazy, to continue to be lazy, is not a command of God, but a guilt trip put on Christians by those not willing to work. It is not wrong to help people who are in financial trouble through no fault of their own. That's a poor person. Almost every person at one time or another will be needy through circumstances that are not their fault. There's medical expenses, loss of jobs. Lots of things can happen to almost everybody. It is not wrong to help those people, especially if they are publicly associated with God's work before the tragedy overtook them. It is wrong to take the Lord's money and give it to those that refuse to work, who seek instead to live off the fat of the land, begging for a living. By the way, there's good money in begging. Well, there's no taxes to pay. You see, tithes and offerings are given to the church. Helping the poor is on top of that. Now, I know one man who gives 10% of his income as a tithe to the church, then gives offerings to the church on top of that, then sets aside 5% of his income to help the needy. Nothing wrong with that. This message this morning is not about helping people in need. That is a given in Scripture. My question involves how much we should help those in need, whether we should help the poor, and which needy person or poor person we do help. Are we really helping the poor or the needy by giving them money or by paying their bills? It is evident in our society that people are taught that the world owes them a living, especially that churches have no other purpose on this earth rather than to help those that refuse to work. I think everybody feels pity and wants to help those that are truly needful. My question is this: does God expect us to give to every beggar everything they ask? I have made a specific statement. Many would agree to help the poor out of church funds, but I believe the real test of helping the poor is, would you help them out of your own funds? It is easy to give that which we have already given. But when we give church funds, we are giving the Lord's money, not our money. I believe we should have the same consideration or more for where the Lord's money goes as to where we would put our money. Now, there's some scriptures about giving to the poor, and I'm going to read five of those. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's a good scripture. Luke 6, verse 35. Matthew chapter 5, verse 42 is the second scripture. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. And I think when it's talking here about he being paid again, that means the Lord will pay you back, not the one that is poor. Luke chapter 3, verse 11. He answereth and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. John chapter 13, verse 29 is the fifth verse. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So giving to the poor is a given. The question is not whether the church gave to the poor or whether the individuals gave to the poor. They did. The question is, who are the poor and where did the money come from? I want to, in this message, make it clear who the poor are, who the needy are, and to see that there's a difference between those of the household of faith and those that are not of the household of faith, and where the money comes from the individuals, not necessarily from church funds. these examples. Our society believes that poor people are entitled to be helped, and Christians are obligated to help. I get this from Calvin Garner on December the 19th in 2004, as he is a missionary in Brazil, and here's what he writes. Dona Eva is a strange lady. She is, by her own admission, a poor lady. She is also a widow with three sons, one in prison for homicide. Society has taught her that if she is poor, everybody owes her a living. Therefore, she begs door to door, our door included. After all, this is her right. If no one answers the doorbell soon enough, she gets to yelling and hammering on the front gate. After all, she has this right. She came to Sunday school studies in our home on one occasion, but we found out later that morning that it seemed she came to stay for lunch. After all, she has this right. We had begun locking our front gate more carefully because she would let herself in without any warning. After she came by begging one night, after we had all been tucked into bed, we knew we had to come to an understanding. We endeavored to teach her that she had no such right, but that her two working sons had a responsibility toward her. She evidently understood, and our home is at peace again. Oh, the joys of a socialistic society. Well, and he is living in Brazil. We're living in the U.S., but we're also living in more or less a socialistic country. Second example. During one of our fellowship meetings at Independence Baptist Church, and I don't know if it was a Bible Institute or a revival meeting or what it was, but we were having lunch in the church fellowship hall. A beggar came asking for food. Brother Cecil fixed the man a sandwich and a drink and brought it to him into the auditorium. And as he sat on the back pew eating his sandwich, he said, "This is what churches are for." I asked him what he meant. He said, "You know, churches are to be charitable. They are to feed the poor like Jesus did." Well, it just made me plumb mad. I said to him, "Churches are not just for feeding the poor. Actually, the poor have wanted churches to give them more than Jesus would have given them. Jesus did feed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000, but he only fed them one time, and he only fed them after they had followed him into the wilderness to hear his preaching. Now, we are feeding you one time, and right there is a door, and you can leave right now and don't ever come back." I did not feel the least regret for helping the man or giving him some food, but once is enough. Many people today do not think they should work, but instead put a guilt trip upon believers, knowing they are a soft touch and desiring to obey God. These kinds of people use our belief in Christ and our desire to be obedient to Him against our conscience, telling us we have no compassion or that we are not Christian if we do not help them. Now, there's people that are just simply lazy. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise." Proverbs 6, verse 9, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" They're lazy people. They're not going to work. Proverbs 10, 26, "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." Proverbs 13, 4, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath not, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." Proverbs 20, verse 4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." Proverbs 26, verse 16, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render derision." Listen, there's a difference between a poor person and a sluggard. We are not required to help people that are lazy and will not work. Jesus did feed the 5,000. Matthew 14, verse 31 through 21 speaks of that. Jesus fed those people that followed him. They fed him, they followed him, listened to his preaching, they were there, and Jesus Christ willingly fed them. Also in the book of Matthew chapter 15, verse 29, Jesus fed the 4,000, but only after they had followed Christ for 3 days. It also should be noted that there were places around there the people did to eat. Jesus was not required to feed them. The people did not ask to be fed. Jesus did that because he loved them. You see, the welfare system in this United States of America has absolutely caused people to depend upon society to feed them. But the welfare system of the U.S. is nothing like the welfare system of the nation of Israel. In that day, It wasn't charity or giving money or paying bills to somebody. The government didn't do it. It was, if there was any help given to any person that was poor or needy, it was from an individual. The Bible states in Leviticus chapter 25 that it was individuals that were to relieve the poor of Israel. Leviticus 25, verse 29 through 46, states that these poor were purchased until the year of Jubilee. The Bible states in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 47 through 55, what an Israelite would do if he was sold into the hands of a stranger or a sojourner. You see, the welfare system of the U.S. is a continual drain upon the economy. Our government pays people with our tax money to establish criteria whereby some are judged worthy of public support. The government then pays people with our tax money to establish who will work for the government in the welfare system. The government continually pays people with our tax money to pay out that which other government officials have determined needs to be paid out. The government pays people with our tax money to help or to make sure the right people receive the government dole. The government pays people with our tax money to prosecute those who abuse the system. Listen, the entire system could be much, much simpler if the federal government would simply get out of the system. It's not in the Constitution at all. As a matter of fact, this was established a long time ago when Davy Crockett was a representative of the House of Representatives. And the House then wanted to give some money to the widow of a representative who had also been a war hero. Davy Crockett objected to this use of public money from the public general treasury and stated so. He said, "I will give my own funds, but it's not constitutional to give funds to this widow from the government, the general treasury." Well, he didn't get his way, and they gave money to this widow, and from that time on, it's just been one project after another. The early church helped those in the church, not those necessarily outside the church. Notice this. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, here's what the Bible states. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Listen, it is nothing wrong with helping lost people or those not in the church. This is always a local church here, especially the church where we are members. There's nothing wrong with a local church helping lost people or those not in the congregation. But if we're going to help anybody, we should help those of the household of faith first. This is scriptural. Independence Baptist Church has helped preachers who were in financial difficulties because of medical needs. Independence Baptist Church has done this on more than one occasion, and we will continue to do so. In the book of Acts chapter 6, the church there decided they were helping the widows who are widows indeed, as it is related in the book of 2 Timothy. And I don't know exactly who all these Grecian widows were, but all the commentaries that I checked are in agreement with this fact, that they were members of the church of Jerusalem. You see, it seems that the church at Jerusalem helping these Grecian widows, and they continue to help them. But somewhere along the line, that practice was stopped or at least modified. I do not know why. I do not know how. But I do know that the practice didn't seem to continue. I know that abuses of any system of welfare are very, very common, and that could have been the difficulty. Notice that it was the early church that placed restrictions upon who would get money from the church. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 through 16 gives us these restrictions. It is this: the family is required to help them first. It's a very, very practical thing. We got people that come by the doors of Independence Baptist Church, and they're traveling through, and they want us to put gas in their tank, or they want us to feed them or something else. I say, how could you ever start on a trip without enough money to get to the other side? Do you not have any kind of family members at all? Lately, we've begun to just tell these people, we will check you through the sheriff's department here in Forestell, And immediately, all those people are gone. I even had some people get highly offended at me because I would say, we're going to check you through the sheriff's department. And they would immediately take any kind of identification they had given me, and they're gone. I had one fella even tell me that if he wanted help, he could go through the Ministerial Association, and they were going through the police department there in Rice City. And the fella immediately got on a big tirade about separation of law of church and state and immediately left. And all that's telling me is that these people just want a handout. They do not want really help. They're just, you might say, the needy kind of people. Probably going to buy drugs or something else with the money, because that's all that we get, phone calls and people wanting us to pay their electric bill. And I'm thinking, man, as many organizations as there are out there to pay electric bills, but they get so many loafers and so many people that want to live off of somebody else. That's what we got into in this country today. That's why the Bible gives us these safeguards. It's not any different today than it was in days gone by, because people are always wanting something for nothing. And the Bible recognizes this sinful nature of men. That's why that God has set up these safeguards. But these people will play on our conscience. They know that we want to please God, and they know we want to go the extra mile. And so they play on that, and we need to be careful of that. Well, in the book of Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 30, here there was a prophecy concerning a dart that was to come throughout all the world. And here the churches at Antioch determined that they were going to send relief to the brethren which dwell in Judea. This is what they did. The churches at Antioch believed the prophecy, and they acted according to that prophecy. But notice this, they did not send relief to all the afflicted in Judea, but only to the brethren. Here's the way it worked. The churches gave the funds to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas had messengers from the churches that traveled with them to Judea. And they saw how that the money was distributed, and then those messengers could come back to the churches that gave the money and say, this is how it was given out. It did not go through any kind of government program, plan, or anything else. But it went from church to Paul and Barnabas, who distributed according to the desires of the church, and the messengers were there to give information or to give any kind of aid that was necessary to make the decision as to who would get the money. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, Paul took the funds directly from the churches throughout Galatia, even to Corinth, and distributed that money unto Jerusalem. Here's the thing. If we let Scripture interpret Scripture, Paul would distribute to the brethren at Jerusalem, not to the general public, or to all those that ask for it. An example of this is with the Katrina hurricane. Central Baptist Church, Brother Cecil Fayard is the pastor. They're down, that's Elliott Baptist Church in Elliott, Mississippi, where Brother Cecil Fayard is the pastor. And they did much help to the area when Katrina destroyed much of southern Mississippi. But the only people they helped were those people that were recommended by churches. And there were churches that gave money to Elliott Baptist Church, and then Elliott Baptist Church gave that money and gave help to people that was afflicted by the hurricane, Katrina. Only those people that was recommended to be helped. This is a scriptural way to do it, and that's what they did. The Post-Dispatch, in the summer of 2002 or 2003, printed this article concerning people that were just living on the riverside up by the Mississippi River, near St. Louis, just north of St. Louis. Churches would continually bring these people money. Pardon me. Churches would continually bring these people food, medical supplies, and everything. Those people were living in trees and caves, and they had old discarded carpet they would put down on between the rocks, and they were up there living in the cool places looking over the Mississippi River, and they had more than they needed. They threw food away, but church people would continually bring it up there to them because they were homeless. It's a joke. It's no good at all. There's nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with giving to the poor. But who are the poor? And everybody at one time or another can be hit with financial distresses and problems. And it's not wrong to help people that are needy indeed. But for those people that are sluggards and do not want to work, the best thing you can do is nothing. Because those people will not ever do anything. And those kinds of people are there always. Do not think that your little bit is going to help them. And all you're doing is soothing your conscience when you want to help those people. And it's not wrong. If you want to give money to them, then that's fine. But it should not ever be church money. Should not ever be. If we're going to give church money, it should always be given to the household of faith. That's the only ones. And remember this. It is very easy to give that which you've already given. But it is much more difficult to give that which is your own. This is why the United States of America today is in such big trouble with its welfare system. Because it's easy to give that which you've already given. We've already given our tax money. So let's ease our conscience in helping the poor by giving them some of the tax money that we've already given. What we don't realize is that the taxes are going to continually increase so we can continue to help people that don't want to help themselves. But if we give of ourselves, if we give of our own, then we're going to make sure that those people that we give to are actually needy. And the more the federal government gets involved in it, the worse it gets. The more the state government gets involved in it, the worse it gets. The more local control is there, the better it'll be. That's why in the Bible, it was individuals that had to take care of the poor, not the government, or not any other kind of system. But it was the individuals and the people that were needy were actually sold as bond servants. And they would work for whatever they had. And that's what it was. And there was a year of Jubilee where that a person could start all over again every 50 years that was given. And so that is God's system of giving and helping the poor. It is a real system, and that one will absolutely work.